plan is to serve the Lord for 5 more years in Peru. I would be 70, and then we would probably retire from serving the Lord officially with Baptism and Missions there in Peru. We need to, while we're on furlough, talk to people about passing the baton. So I'm particularly talking to the young people. I'm not talking to your grandparents. I'm not talking to your parents as much as the young people here. We need to pass the baton. I remember when I was in high school, I grew up in the Shenandoah Valley, Stanton, Virginia, over in the western part of the state, and I ran track and cross country. The last race I ever ran in high school was a relay race. Normally, I didn't run relay races, but in the regional track meet, I think our coach knew I wasn't going to get any points running what I usually ran, so he stuck me on a relay. It was the mile relay, one time around the track. At that time, it would have been 440 yards. I just knew I had to run as hard as I could for as long as I could, and somebody would be there to take the baton. And I've wondered that, as Stan said, you know, I wish I had 35 more years to serve in Peru. We first went in 1983. We were short-termers. We were accepted full-time in 87. We spent 35 years there, and I wish I could spend 35 more years, but hey, I can't do that. Physically, and Becky would probably say mentally, you know, you just cannot always do that. And so we are looking to pass the baton to young people who have the Lord's tarries. You could serve 35 or 40 years as well. So think about that today. And tonight I will talk about the Ariba program, which is for college age students. I have some brochures of the younger people. You can be in high school and ask about Ariba. Take one of those brochures. Back about 12 years ago, I thought there were two young ladies from the church here that might come on Ariba. Didn't work out for them to come, but I would love to see somebody before we leave the field or retire anyway come from the church here and join us on the Ariba program. In your Bibles this morning, if you would turn to Luke chapter 12, Luke chapter 12, I'd like to read, and I will read it in just a minute. I'd like to begin in Acts, chapter 12, verse 24, and read just a few familiar verses. I'm glad for the chance to be here and start the missions conference in March, or the missions month, and I do pray for the people who will be coming that during this month the Lord will really work in hearts here. But let's read in verse 24. Acts chapter 12, verse 24, but the word of God grew and multiplied. And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry and took with them John, whose surname was Mark. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. Let's pray. Father, guide my words this morning. Help us as we look at this passage and look at the church at Antioch to see a church that had a passion for missions, that wanted to extend the gospel beyond their regions into Asia Minor, throughout Turkey, the western part of that peninsula, over into Europe, into Greece, and eventually the gospel would spread to Rome. I pray, Lord, that you will help us to look at this church. I pray that Bible Baptist Church here in Wakarusa would have the same passions for missions, that we would see the same characteristics as we see in this church this morning, that this church right here in Indiana would model the same type of church as Antioch. In Jesus' name, amen. The church at Antioch, and Antioch was the third leading city in the entire Roman Empire. Rome, of course, was number one. They were the most important. The second most important would have been Alexandria there in Egypt. And then Antioch, up in the northern corner of Syria, up by the Mediterranean Sea, would have been the third leading city in the entire empire. So this wasn't just a small provincial city. This was a pretty important city, and the gospel reached Antioch, and a church began. I wanted to just look back and see where this church began in chapter 11. You might not even need to turn your pages there, but in verse 19, chapter 11, verse 19, says, "Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen when he was stoned traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch." So there was a persecution in Jerusalem. Christians fled. They started to spread around the Roman Empire. Some reached Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. Some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which is in North Africa, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. So the gospel has reached both the Jews in verse 19, the Gentiles here in verse 20. "And the hand of the Lord was upon them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came into the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch. Who when he came and had seen the grace of God was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man," referring back to Barnabas, "full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul." This would be Paul as we know him today. "When he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians," little Christ, followers of Christ, "first at Antioch." And so we see this church that has been started at Antioch. Now when we get to chapter 13, they're ready to extend, they're ready to send missionaries and expand internationally, cross-culturally. They're going to reproduce themselves. Just like that is the goal here of Bible Baptist Church, you are trying to produce like, similar churches around the world. That's what we're trying to do in Peru at El Manantial Baptist Church. We're trying to produce a biblical church that would be similar to this. I think if you were there today, other than the Spanish, you would probably feel fairly comfortable there. Our choir, which we don't have one because we don't have people who can sing like the choir here or direct like Pastor Harper. But I think you would feel fairly comfortable here. I did notice that people here got here on time and actually got here early. That's not a cultural thing in our church, so you might notice that difference. Where are the people? When are they going to get here? But a church that is going to reproduce itself. And I just wanted to ask you today, do you have a passion for missions? And I know that word passion, there are different types of personalities. Some of us are passionate when we go, "Oh, okay." Some when they are passionate, you really get expressive and your voice goes up and you get really excited. You start waving your arms around. But I just wanted to think about that. Are you passionate about missions? What do you think when you hear there's going to be a missionary speaker here on Sunday night or Wednesday night? Does the thought go through your mind, "Oh, okay, well, maybe this would be a good night just to catch up on some rest"? How do you react with missionaries and missionary speakers? How are you going to react in this month of missions? Are you excited about it? Is this one of the high points? One of the things we've noticed over the 35 years we've been in missions from 83 when we raised support to go short term until now is churches just don't have missions conferences anymore. This entire furlough, we will have been in one missions conference. And that was a Sunday to Sunday, which is like, wow, the pastor is really brave to try to have a Sunday to Sunday missions conference. But what do you think about missions? In your family, do you ever talk about missions? Do you pray for missionaries together? Do you read missionary biographies? How do you interact with your children, younger kids, your teenagers? How do we view missions? And Antioch is a good church to look at. I've got five things to look at today. Antioch modeled biblical missions because, first of all, the Word of God was central. Let's look back at chapter 12, verse 24, one more time. But the Word of God grew and multiplied. The Word became central here. 13 times in the book of Acts, that little phrase, the Word of God, is used. But the Word of God is going to be central. We have here that little verse. It's really a progress report for these chapters. We don't have time this morning to look back at some of those little divisions in the book. But look back at chapter 11. I want to reread. I had read this earlier. The Church of Jerusalem sent Barnabas up to Antioch. Find out what is going on up at Antioch. We want to know what's going on. He came back. He had a good report with that. But when he was up there, it says in verse 25, then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. So he goes to look for Saul in Tarsus, which is in Turkey. When he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And I thought, man, what must that have been like? Barnabas goes to get Saul. He said, hey, we've got a new church here. A lot of people are accepting the Lord. They need to know more about the Word. And I want you to help me. We are going to disciple. We are going to teach the Word and make the Word central in the lives of these people. And I don't know if you've ever thought about what that might have looked like. I don't think that necessarily their church services or the way they met looked like ours today. I don't think Barnabas said, Saul, come over here. I want you to teach Sunday school 40 minutes a week to these people. Or I'm going to preach on Sunday night to these people, and we're going to decide. I think they probably met almost every single night. They just said, hey, tonight let's meet over at so-and-so's house. Whoever can come, we're going to have this group. And Saul, you and I, we're going to team teach. We are going to go through the Bible. We're going to see Christ in the Old Testament. We're going to preach about Christ, and the Word is going to be central. I'm always amazed when I go to the jungle with the Ariba group. We're in these little villages. The one village we often go to, there are only about 15 little houses there. And the men want me to teach them about salvation or revelation or the life of Christ or how to study your Bible. And I asked the pastor, Felipe, when do you want to start? Let's start at 8 o'clock in the morning. How long do you want me to go? Let's go until 12:30. So I go to 12:30. All the men, they get up at 4. They go out and fish. They're done with their work. They've eaten breakfast. They get together. We go from 8 to 12:30. And I'm sort of, getting a little bit that way. That's why we need some young people on the mission field. And then I said, okay, Pastor Felipe, what do we do? Well, let's eat lunch. It's 12:30 now. Let's get back together at 2 o'clock. And let's go till about 4 or 4:30. And I say, okay. And we do that every day and every night we have services. But I think that is sort of like every chance where people were not working. Paul is saying with Barnabas, Paul and Barnabas are getting together and they're saying, let's get together and study the Word. But the Word of God is central. And I think that has to be key for a missions-minded church. Missionaries are not to teach American culture. We're not there to try to make them look like us, act like us. We're there to teach the Word. So the Word of God was central. This was a Word-saturated church. A second thing that you see here in Antioch, the people were serving. In verse 25 again, chapter 12, verse 25, Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem, and when they had fulfilled their ministry. Now, why had they gone down to Jerusalem? It answers that question over in chapter 11, verse 27. 11:27, in these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch. So a group comes up to Antioch from Jerusalem in the south, And there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit there would be a great dearth throughout the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, these are people in Antioch, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. So there's a famine in Jerusalem. This church up in Antioch that had been reproduced by the people from Jerusalem, they said, let's take up an offering, let's send it down to Jerusalem, and we're going to send it with Barnabas and Saul. So if we jump back over to chapter 12, 25, they have now returned from Jerusalem, and they've got somebody with them, and took with them John, whose surname was Mark. But the people are serving generously. You see, this church generously gave. They are giving to help out another church in need, and we're certainly grateful for the support that this church has given us to meet our needs, has helped out in different areas with Ariba and church with different things. But you see here, people are serving generously. They're recruiting other people. Paul, or Saul, if you want to continue to use that name, and Barnabas, when they were in Jerusalem, they found a young man, John Mark. A young man, and they bring him up to Antioch, and he is going to go with them on the first missionary journey. I'll sort of jump ahead and just mention this. That didn't turn out so well. John Mark wound up quitting and going back home. And later on, when the second missionary journey is getting ready to start, and Barnabas wants to take John Mark, Paul says, no, I don't think so. He's not going to go with us. And they have a big disagreement, and they decide we're going to split up. Years ago in Peru, when I preached through the book of Acts, I called this multiplication by division. Instead of having one team, which would have been Paul and Barnabas and Mark, they wound up with two teams. Barnabas took John Mark, they made their own missionary journey, and then Paul takes Silas, some other men, and they're going to go on their missionary journey. But they are recruiting others. Barnabas and Saul brought John Mark. And I hope that this church is looking at young people and saying, who might the Lord want to serve in a full-time capacity, whether it be as a pastor, a missionary, Sunday school teachers, and mentor them? Who in the church can we mentor for this assignment? So seek others and mentor them. And missionaries are going to come from those people who are already serving. Barnabas and Saul are serving here in the church. They're already doing something. I want to just read a verse here. I've got it. You don't have to look at it. Acts 6:30. The disciples, the apostles say, wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, who we may appoint over this business. But they told the church, you look out seven men. Select seven men who have these qualities here, and I've got something for them to do. So the word of God was central here at this church in Antioch. The people are serving. Number three, the leadership was solid. Look at verse 1 in chapter 13. And there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, and it lists five of those men here. Barnabas, Simeon, that was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, and Manahem, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted. The leadership here was solid. They were discipling other people. They were fasting. They were praying. In thinking about this, I thought of three different ways that we try to do this in our church. I hope your church is doing the same. Three different groups you're trying to disciple people. First of all, at El Manantial Baptist Church, and I think probably here as well, if somebody is a new believer, somebody accepts the Lord, they're new to the Christian faith, they're new to Christianity, maybe they don't know anything about their Bible. I remember when I was in junior high and high school, we had a pastor. When he got saved, he and his wife, they decided to read the Bible, and he said, why don't we start with this book of Job? He said, I'd like to find out about what's in that book. You're going to have people who don't know anything really about the Christian faith other than they understood salvation. And so at our church, at El Manantial, we have 12 lessons to take a new believer to disciple them. But then you need to make disciples of everybody who's attending the church at Sunday school or whatever a new term might be for that, adult Bible fellowship, life groups, whatever. That's a discipleship opportunity for us to be discipled, to continue with discipleship. When Pastor Harper is preaching to us, we are being discipled through the word. But then I was thinking about a third one, and this is what I don't know that I did the best job when we first started serving. I first started serving as pastor, and Becky was helping me in the church. But that is looking for leaders, potential leaders, and discipling leaders, people who would become leaders. Right now, I've got at least one young man, perhaps two, that really, I think, want to serve the Lord, and I need to especially spend time with them and disciple them. But discipling leaders, training leaders. One pastor told me, he said, I'm going to pray for you to find a Timothy. And that's what we need to be doing. But these men were doing that at this church. They're pretty diverse. This is a diverse group. Simeon was probably black, probably from North Africa. Lucius was from North Africa. Cyrene would have been in Libya. Manaen was upper class. I mean, he was the elite group. He had grown up with Herod. Probably at this time, it was sort of common for a rich family to, our kid needs a playmate. We're going to get a playmate here. And so Manaen had grown up with Herod in the palace. He was upper class. You've got Saul, who is Jewish from Asia Minor, from Tarsus. You've got Barnabas from Cyprus. And from all these backgrounds, they come together to disciple people, to start a new church, and they are devoted. It mentions here that they ministered to the Lord in verse 2. They were involved in church work. It was to the Lord, not just to the congregation. I want to help our congregation, but my ministry is really for the Lord, not necessarily for other people. They fasted, and they were directed by the Holy Spirit. A fourth thing I want to look at quickly, the attitude of this church was sacrificial. I want you to think about this. This church at Antioch had five leaders. How many of those five leaders did the Holy Spirit take to become missionaries? Two of them. That's 40% of the leadership of the church is going to leave and go to the mission field. You can imagine if Pastor Harper and 40% of the leaders of the church, deacons or Sunday school teachers, if they said, we're going to the mission field, it'd be like, oh no, how can that be? But this is a sacrificial church. They gave up 40% of their leadership team. They gave up their best. They gave up the ones who had been there the longest, Barnabas and Saul. And then the body here, the last thing, the church is supportive. They sacrificed. The church fasted and prayed here in verse 3. They, in verse 3, is referring to the church. The church fasts. The church prays. They laid their hands on them. They identified themselves with Paul and with Barnabas. They said, we are going to identify you and designate you to be our missionaries. And we are going to send them. We see a divine partnership here. They are called, they are sent by the Holy Spirit, but they're also sent by their local church. If you look at verse 2 again, as they, this group of five, ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. When they fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, and they, the church, sent them away. So they, Barnabas and Saul, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, a seaport there by Antioch, and then they continued down to Cyprus. So the word was central, the people were serving at the church, the leadership was solid, the attitudes were sacrificial, the church was supportive. I just want to ask you this morning as we close, are you willing to go if God were to call you? If the Holy Spirit were to call a young person or an adult from this church to go to missions, and you were that person, would you be willing to go? Would you be willing to say yes? Or it might be God has not given you that call. Would you be willing to stay and sacrificially support those people who are going? If you stay, are you going to be serving in this church? If a person wanted to go into missions and they went to Pastor Harper and Pastor Harper said, well, what are you doing here at church? And you said, well, you know, really, I'm not doing anything. Never done anything. I don't think he's going to say, well, I want you to go to the mission field. He's going to work with that person so they are involved in serving. But if you stay, are you serving? Pray for current missionaries and new missionaries. Let's pray. Father, there are a number of young people here today, young couples, and your Holy Spirit is the one who moves hearts, who works in the lives of people to consider serving you, whether it's here as a pastor, a pastor's wife, whether it would be to go to the mission field and serve as a missionary. And during this month of March, Lord, work in the hearts of people. Work in the hearts of young people especially, so that they will consider your call. Help this church to model those things we've seen this morning in the church at Antioch. In Jesus' name,